Broadcasting to the world. Broadcasting to the world. To the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul. BlakeRadio.com.
Welcome to Sports In Depth with Doc Stanley on the Blake Radio Network. On each and every show, Doc takes you inside the world of sports to hear from the movers, shakers, and decision makers. I know you thought there were seven wonders of the universe, where here's the eighth, Doc Stanley.
Doc Stanley, Sports In Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul of the channel Sports In Depth is the show. It is part two finale of the midweek special. And every day is a special day. And you're able to get on your knees and pray and thank God for another healthy day. Another day alive. Another day clothed, as my mother says, in your right mind. And we send out a special prayer, dear Lord. We ask you to reach across the waters of Brazil and help my beloved Josiane, her mother who's in the hospital. The Lord, we are so to touch today. She'll call Tomaso Jr. and my nephew, Malcolm, celebrate your birthday. Touch us here, touch us there. By the grace of God, touch us everywhere. And we ask you to bless all the blessings in the name of your daughter, son Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And you're God all by yourself. Even though you may not be everybody's God, but you are the one and only true God. And we just want to take this moment, your Lord, as we should take every moment that we breathe, to thank you for Calvary. So thank you for the little things we so largely take for granted. And we ask you blessings, all those blessings. In your name, dear God. Amen. Doc Stanley, Sports In Depth, on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soda Channel Sports Devil Show. It is midweek. Finale. As Murray K would see you say, Finale. Murray K, the fifth Beatle, back at the GSA. Dusty will join us and Mel Cosell. We continue part two of last night's ending. And once again, continue in salute and recognition. Once again, happy birthday to the First Lady of Cable Television. The lovely, the talented, the incredible Miss Crystal Hart. She celebrates her birthday tomorrow. And we recognize the birthday yesterday of the manager of the one and the only disco artist ever to win a Grammy, and that is none other than the legendary Gloria Gaynor. And Gloria, as you know, will be performing this week in at Lehman College. And we, you just can't say enough about Gloria Gaynor if you know the story about Gloria Gaynor. Gloria Gaynor is the first disco artist in the history of music to ever win a Grammy. And salutes and salutations are unlimited. Let's go back. Let's listen to the legend that lives, Miss Gloria Gaynor. This week at Lehman College, she's there with Colonel Abrams and Hitman, the only disco artist ever to win a Grammy. 14 million records sold. Interpreted in 20 different languages, ladies and gentlemen. The legend that lives, Miss Gloria Gaynor. Gloria Gaynor, Lehman College, this Saturday. And ironically enough, her husband's birthday, former manager, was yesterday. And Gloria Gaynor, I think I told that story a million times, just so you know, I Will Survive was the flip side of a record called Substitute.
Substitute. I will survive with the hit.
Hey, evidently, substitute didn't do it. It became the substitute. But I will survive.
Yeah. Jesus, you know how many millions and billions that sold? It went platinum, the whole nine yards, man.
14 million copies of the record was sold. And what we're going to do.
Why don't you write a song? Why don't you not write a song? You know, and you put the music, I put the words to it.
Either way, hey, listen, if we can get 14 million of them sold, I'm down with it. You know what I mean? Gloria Gaynor grew up in Newark, New Jersey. As a teenager, began singing top 40 hits with bands and clubs and on tour around the U.S. She's only 19 when Clive Davis auditioned her and signed her to Columbia Records, releasing her first single, Honeybee. In 1975, she recorded Never Can Say Goodbye for MGM and became the first dance song to reach number one status. MGM released her debut album, Never Can Say Goodbye, which went gold, followed by hit albums Experience, Gloria Gaynor, and I've Got You Under My Skin. After back surgery in 1978, following a fall on stage, she wore a back brace to record I Will Survive. Released in 1979, the song was an instant number one hit, defining the disco era and becoming an anthem to women and gay and the gay community. The song sold 40 million copies and won the Grammy for Best Disco Song and has been translated into 20 languages. In 1984, she recorded I Am What I Am, which reached the top 10 on Billboard's Dance Disco Hits. Gained a re-record I Will Survive in 1990, and in 1990, for Gloria Gaynor, 90, which was a new album to him. That went gold in 2001, Just Keep Thinking About You, hit number one on the Billboard Disco Club Recording BMG, charts with international hit Last Night with Giorgio Moroder. Debuted at number one throughout Europe.
Doc Stanley and the senior baby Lewis and the entire Sports and Deaf Nation, hello to you all.
Hold on,
hey, what's going on?
In 2002, Logic Records, BMG released the LP I Wish You Love, her first worldwide release in 15 years, which spawned four number one dance singles.
It spawned four
disco singles on Billboard's dance charts, and I Never Knew made the top 10 on Billboard's adult commentary charts. Gaynor appeared on Broadway in a long-running musical review, Smokey Joe's Cafe, and on national TV as a guest star on such popular programs as The 70s Show and Ally McBeal. She penned an autobiography, which I have, titled I Will Survive, St. Martin Press, and lends her support to numerous charities. In 2011, she traveled to Nashville to record a song for her forthcoming gospel CD, He Gave Me Life, I Will Survive, and embarked on a Christmas symphony tour in Italy and Croatia, ringing in the new year with a concert in Las Vegas. So that there is some of the inside of the legendary Miss Gloria Gaynor, who will be this weekend at Lehman College with Colonel Abrams and the Hitman. And, you know, Gloria, we're going to keep playing that during the course of the show here, Gloria. So hang on for a minute. We'll be back with you. The thing about the song, Gloria, I Will Survive, Doc Stanley Sports Network, the Blake, Reader Network, Rainbow Solar Channel, Sports Network, the show, is at the end of the midweek. This is part two of our midweek special final. Gloria Gaynor. You know, I think I told the story before, fellas. You know what happened is Rooney, I was telling them, I Will Survive was the flip side of a record called Substitute. Substitute had done extremely well in Europe. And the mindset of the CEO, he didn't call him CEO, and the head man at Polydor Records, that he was going to get a record of Gloria, and she would do the same thing in America that it did in Europe. Mr. Simon, the incomparable Linwood Maxwell Simon, who celebrated a birthday yesterday, heard I Will Survive, and they said, wait a minute, hold on. We're playing the wrong side. And in fact, the words the author of the song wrote on the paper bag showed in Gloria and Linwood. Well, Linwood took the record down to Eon, Exxon, you know, all those shows, and to Studio 54. Told the DJs, hey, fellas, run this for me. I mean, they love Gloria, they love Linwood. Gloria, as they said, you were right. As you said, it was right in the notes. Gloria used to do a routine where she would sing a song, throw the mic across the stage, one of the guys would grab it and hold it. This time she threw it across the stage, the guy didn't grab it, she fell, but she got up. That didn't start bothering her until a little maybe a day or so later, things went kind of rough. She had the back problems. The rumor was out, the vicious lie, or as Timothy F. Smitty would say, as rumor has it, that the queen was dead. Her mother died. And when Gloria sung I Will Survive, she was singing I Will Survive, grieving for her beloved mother, who was an idol and role model, and also in a back brace. The rest, they say, is history. It 14 million, platinum, sung in 20 different countries. And what had happened, the French team, during the course of 2000, had lost a game, football game, and they were a little despondent, and they heard this music coming from the other locker room. And so as they were fouling out, say, hey, what's that music? They said, hey, we got a theme song, man. We got a song. That's our song. When we win, that's our lucky song. They said, maybe we need a song. First I was afraid, I was petrified. And that's what happened. Somewhere along the line, they happened to hear this here, Gloria Gaynor. And they said, we like that song. Played the song. The rest of this is me. They kept winning. And they said, wait a minute, hold on. Who sang this song? Got in contact with Mr. Simon, flew Gloria into France where the World Cup championships were being held that year. Who did they beat in the finals that year? The greatest football team that has ever existed, which housed the greatest football player that ever lived. And if I say his name, we're kind of giving away who it was. But what had happened, unbelievable as it was, France beat the incomparable Brazilian team led by Ronaldo. We done won nothing and won the World Cup. Gloria was made the godmother of the team. And I remember I was blessed to work with Cliffside Music. The pictures all over the house of her. And we're taking a picture with the team, had a little trophy. And there's no bigger championship, no bigger event in the world of sport than it is the World Cup. And Gloria Gaynor was the inspiration behind France not only winning the World Cup, but beating the incomparable Brazilian team 1-0 and at home. And Gloria Gaynor, this weekend, will be at Neiman College with Colonel Abrams and the Hitmen. But the Hitman we were talking about last night, also we want to say happy birthday to the First Lady of Cable Television, Dusty. Tomorrow, Crystal Hart has a birthday, so we want to say happy birthday to her.
Crystal Hart? Oh, Crystal Hart.
First Lady of Cable Television, she celebrates her birthday tomorrow. Well, gentlemen, here's the big thing now, Rooney, it's what they say about New York City. you get in here, and if you can handle the pressure, if you can perform, it's the platform of platforms. Already, I'm listening to the news, fellas, and there's excitement. There's a reporter outside of the apartment building in Hoboken where now Tim Tebow is going to reside, Rooney.
Yeah, he's moving to Jersey. Well, most Jets live in Jersey.
Yeah. But it also, Eli Manning lives in that same Hoboken. Rooney, go ahead.
Yeah, he does.
We'll be anxious to see how he handles the pressure of New York. You know, I'm not sure, I didn't hear, but I had gotten reports that I forgot who was with another star athlete. You'll probably know you were not. Was that a Yankee game? And what was he, booed at the Yankee game someday?
Oh, yeah, him and the, well, they
yeah,
they,
he was
well,
booed,
I
yeah.
mean, Him and Dwayne Wade. I can understand Dwayne
yeah.
Wade, 28 points to help beat the Knicks
game.
That day. Yeah, I can understand him booing Dwayne Wade. But, yeah, but see, you know, Dusty, this right there dispels the fallacy of the so-called intellectual New York fan. I mean, the guy scored 28 points against your team. I can understand you being dismayed, but you want the best to beat you. Dwayne Wade has proven to be one of the best players in the game
now,
today.
Doc, you know that sports fans don't feel that way when it comes to the opponents coming in. You know better than this. Now.
Yeah, but Rooney, I'm talking about you're at a baseball game.
Yeah. You got a baseball game.
No, Rooney,
game
that's not
game.
True.
Yeah.
That's not true. But, I mean, I don't expect them to cheer a great catch made by the opposition as was happened so apropos and redundantly with Willie Mays. And I remember Ken Griffey Jr. making great catches. But, I mean, you know, the guy has scored 28 points. The guy's a great player. I mean, you're always supposed to be able to appreciate a fine wine, whether you're drinking it or somebody else buys it.
Well,
I mean,
you know what it is.
But by the same token, you want to appreciate it, hoping that you're the person who's sipping the fine wine and not the opponent A.
No, I understand all that. What I'm understand is I don't care if a Rembrandt is in my house, the museum, or you've got it. You should always be able to appreciate art. And I've long said this, that so-called comment about the intelligence of the New York sports fan is first-class hogwash. And
it is hogwash.
If you find somebody else who knows what they're talking about, if you find someone who actually knows their sports and know what they're talking about, that comment is completely true. But if you find somebody who's talking off the top of their head and know nothing, they know nothing if they're in New York.
Well, Rooney, I'm glad we got I have found that the average sports fan in New York City does not know anything. And what has been a proponent and a foundation and a injection into this fallacy is Sports Talk Radio, because Vinny from Bensonhurst or Hernaldo from the Bronx or Ronrico from Jersey, they call in, and because you say, well, yeah, you know, I think Tim Tebow can be advantageous to the Jets. Now, you're the expert, but now because you agreed with one fraction of them, now all of a sudden they're the expert. I mean, I've never found, I've talked about the case with Barry Bonds. I'll never forget that as long as I live. When I came down into the third base photo cage with my photographer, at that time shooting that game was a man, Eric McCannell, and Eric said something to me, I couldn't believe it. He said, Doc, you ought to hear what they're saying to Barry Bonds. And Dusty, you told me the same thing happened to you at Yankee Stadium in the bleachers when Sean Green was playing. And
let me tell you something. One of the worst or best that can be done is the fact that these dudes are frustrated athletes who didn't make it to Little League. That's number one. Mm-hmm. Number two, they don't know how to behave in a public sports emporium. All right, mm-hmm. So you support Team A. All right, and you don't support Team B, but that doesn't give you the right, the freedom to ostracize the opposing team, like this guy was ostracizing Green. I mean, to get personal and call him his son, and I took care of your mother, and all of that nonsense.
And you know, and Dusty, hold on, Dusty. Lady D, are you with us? Okay, we got another caller coming from 201. Who joined us? Okay, maybe they just want to listen. Well, okay, if you want to join us, please take. Who's this?
Another addition to the sports.
Yeah, okay, well, they can listen. Go ahead, Dusty.
Yeah, so, I mean, where do they get the freedom to do, I mean, the right, because they pay their tickets in, and they drink the 2.3 beer, and they get all booze up in front of children, and then the children follow suit. Look what happened to Artest in that basketball game. The guy threw a beer at him from his perch into the court. What gives them the right to do that?
Dusty, you hit it right on the head. I mean, that whole thing, this is all about it. And you said something, too. Doc Stanley Sports Up on the Blake, you're at the Rainbow Solar Channel, Sports Up for the show. It's the kids being there. And
it's supposed to be a family game, or the world.
Dusty,
that's
Barry
told me. American pastime. Yeah.
That's what I told Barry after the same sort of things that you heard said to Sean Green was said of.
Yeah.
To Barry about both Barry's wife and his mother. And his mother. Okay?
Wow.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, if you've been listening, you know, it was said to Barry as he was in the outfield that one gentleman said that his mother had performed a certain sex act on him the night before, and another gentleman dovetailed and said that Barry's wife had done the same thing.
Yeah.
And I told Barry that. I said, Barry, I can't.
You and Dusty are right, okay? Let me say this. You both are not going to agree with me. So
Hold on, Rooney. I said, Barry, you know, I mean, I'm never surprised that man is in who many the man, and being a police officer, nothing stuns you. But I said, man, you know, at the game, and he said, you know what? That doesn't bother me. What bothers me is what you said, Dusty, is that they're saying that in front of kids. And
kids,
this
yeah.
now propels and interjects the mindset that this is all right to do and say.
For this
at
the kids to give things, yeah, they follow suit. They think it's all right to do it because dad is doing it, or uncle is doing it, or the uncle's doing it, or everybody's.
Or Dusty is doing it.
Oh, Dusty is doing it.
No, you know, let me say this. Let your fans, Dusty Sports
you
on the Blake. No,
yeah.
We tease Dusty is a first class act. As you know, he's a pivotal part of the show, as is Mel Cosell. And these are the people who make this show. Through others, I am somebody. These are the guys who make Sports in Depth, as Sea Wing, as is Lady Harold Weston. And, you know, when you hear these guys, gentlemen, talk, that's what they are. They're gentlemen, they're class acts. They have character, they have class. And they have dignity. And I just want to, once again, salute them. And, yeah, I feel that way because, yeah, they're my crew, they're my people, and I'm proud to have them here. Good, Winnie, now you had a point you want to bring to us.
My point was, Doc, and I have to say that I'm probably going to catch some heat with you and Dust, but not, I feel this way.
Get out the
way. I'm coming from a, I'm sorry, what was that?
No, we getting the whipping and the hanging loose. Go ahead, keep talking. Don't worry about it.
We got the bathroom standing more.
And I agree with you in regard to the foul language in front of the kids. As far as I'm concerned, that is never, ever acceptable to use that type of language and those type of
terminology,
phrases in front of children. You know, you have to be a moron to agree with that. So of course, that is not absolutely positive. I mean, the guy sitting down there with his young son or daughter shouldn't have the subject, you know, to that kind of language and references to mothers and autonomy and everything else. I absolutely agree with that. However, having said that, let me say this. And Dusty, you being a former professional athlete, I'm sure that when you walk into an opposing arena, you are not making it right. But when you walk into an opposing arena, you have to be prepared to hear anything under the sun and be called everything but a child of God. Okay?
Well,
I mean, that's just open territory.
I didn't even have to go into an opposing arena. Oh, I walked into St. Nick's, Sunnyside Gardens, Eastern Broadway. I mean, you could hear the boos and knock out this punk. Oh, my Lord in heaven. You know what that was? That gave me adrenaline. It was an adrenaline rush. I said, okay, you boo me. I'm going to lay your dude out right on your lap.
Dusty, but isn't, and Rooney, you're right. Doc Stanley Sports Def on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul, the channel Sports Def for the show. This weekend, the legend that lives, the incomparable, the only disco artist ever to win a Grammy, the first queen of disco music, Gloria Gaynor, at Lehman College with the Hitmen and Kurt Abel. But Dusty, and you,
yeah.
you too, Rooney, I mean, but there has to be a line. You know what I mean? You know when you're cupping in a little league. Okay, baby, second out, but no batter, baby, no batter. Okay, you can
exactly,
you can understand
exactly.
that. But there's got to be a line, Dusty.
There has to be a line, and they cross the line. And see, I question. I'm going to tell you very frankly how I am. I question when you hear guys tell you, Doc. I mean, you've talked to a lot of these guys more than I. Well, you know, I took $10 million less just to get, so I don't have to deal with the press in New York. Nonsense. Nonsense. You give me the $10 million and I'll deal with that garbage. I'm walking home with $10 million. That's the way I am.
Well, yeah, but see, that's you, Dusty. Some guys can't take it.
What,
I mean, remember the picture was Roden? I mean, some guys, and you know what it is, Dusty? It's guys that who have been here before. It's not like, you know, you'd never been here before. Like Terry Pillen told me that. But Terry had been, I mean, you know, when Terry hit a home run one time, Dusty, and somebody in the stands threw something at him. And the bad boy told me when he saw the guy throw something, it was a tissue or something that hit Terry's, oh my goodness, he said he's going to hit a home run because he had done that 2 days before and another guy hit a home run, you know what I mean? So
it's unfortunately somebody would say that it goes with the territory of being a celebrity on the opposing team. But it does not go with a celebrity on the opposing team because nobody has the right, because they paid the money to get in, to throw things, perhaps a career-ending injury, something that could cripple you and ruin your life. I mean, these folks not only should be thrown out, jail, and banned for life. out of the freaking ball team. That's what they should do. You know,
yeah, but you know what? You know what the sad part about this, gents, is that nowadays with the price of tickets. No,
yeah.
We're talking about the people who are paying are supposed to be the upper echelon of our society.
Yeah.
If you think about it.
You know, still in all, you got to be realistic. And if you're going to label, let's take baseball. If you're going to label baseball America's pastime, that means that nuns and pledges and every nerd in the book can go in there and enjoy America's pastime in a safe environment. Not to
concur with you, Dusty, but I'm saying right now, with the price of tickets, the point that we also can add to this ludicrous mindset is that Dusty, gone are the days of you and your dad going to the game. Gone are the days of me, you,
father,
Rudy,
and son.
They're gone because you can't afford a ticket.
Well,
what I'm saying is these people, these so-called fans, are really supposed to be the higher echelon, the higher educated, the higher enumerated of our society. Because
let me say this, Doc. There have been at least three or four occasions, Doc and Dusty, during this past football season, where people who had the nerve and call to cheer for an opposing team would be within an inch of their life.
One team was beat up. He was beat up by Kansas City people, and he was a Jet fan.
And it shows. Doc Stanley Sports Network on the Blake Network, Rainbow Soda Channel Sports Network. The show once again, we Gary Gannon this weekend with Colonel Abrams and Hittman at Lehman College. Tomorrow, the birthday of the First Lady of cable television, the lovely Miss Crystal Hart, and we're looking for our First Lady to probably join us, Deirdre Shuler, and we want to thank you for all she's done. It's funny you said it because it just shows the different mindset. They told me a story of my dad. At Ebbets Field, Giants-Dodger game. And it's early April, little chilly. Guy offers my dad a cup of coffee, hot chocolate. My dad takes the next. I have a different mindset. Giant player comes up, hits a home run, and my dad cheers. And the gentleman just simply got up and took the cup of coffee out of my dad's hand. a Dodger fan wasn't having that. But it just, it shows a different mindset. It shows a different protocol of things today in our society. We got a caller coming in. I'm trying to find out, is this one more time, but we got a caller coming in. Did you want to say anything, or you our First Lady, Deirdre Shuler, or you just want to listen in? If you have any
No, I wanted to talk about the Jets.
Oh, okay. Jets.
Okay,
Jets. Well, okay. And who
first
is this calling in?
I have season tickets. I've had it even since Tryon Stadium was around, and I got to tell you, the fans are rowdy, and they're crazy. They get blithering drunk, and they go nuts. I swear to God, every week I see a fight, and I see two people get kicked out.
Right.
But, it's funny because the mindset was that once they cut down on the selling of the beer. Okay, now I'm Doc Stanley, Destino Lois, and Melco Sellsmith. Like that. Now, you know, what's your take? You're a Jets fan, and we've been going back and forth with this. What's your take on Tebow? You like the idea? Is he going to
No,
be
I don't.
Him?
Not at all.
Why
As
not?
A matter of fact, I just don't think he's good. I mean, all right, maybe he's good at running, and why not put him as, like, a fullback or something, or a tight end?
Cool.
But I'd also, I mean, he could throw the ball once in a while. I think Sanchez is better. But what I really want the NFL to do is put in Greg McElroy. He's had a great college history, and I think he could be a star on this team. And he's a third string on the Jets, but I think he could be good.
Right. Yeah. Well, he has shown.
Big stars on the roster. Do you think you'd ever get a chance to see him in
that's the problem with the NFL. They don't give people chances.
You know, the point you bring up, what's your first name?
Drew.
Drew. You know, it's funny, Drew, because, you know, you look at, and what I've been saying in the past, and we kept saying, too, you know, when Sanchez was inadequate in certain games, for some reason they always seemed reluctant to bring in the backup quarterback. And you know, there were so many games that the perfect opportunity presented itself. And if they're going to take the mindset, if they're willing to let Sanchez learn while he plays, You got a good point. They should have let him play a couple of games, especially games that were we were long out of it or we just were way up in the front. Your thoughts on
that? He's known to be a smart quarterback, Greg McElroy. If you read stuff about him, he played excellent on Alabama, and he hasn't lost any game on that when he was playing in college except for in high school. I just don't think – I think the NFL doesn't give people chances, and they need to. There are great players out there that we don't even know about that could be superstars, and we're never going to know until the NFL puts them on the field.
When
he's there, he's sitting on a bench. Don't these guys realize when they practice or when they have the practice squad that these guys have some talent? Or they just label practice squad players, if I follow what you're saying, practice, and they'll be forever practice squad players, and they'll never be able to get a shot at the upper edge, you know, at the big show.
Yeah, that's possible. That happened to Aaron Rodgers. Nobody thought he was going to be that great.
A lot of guys have been promoted from the practice squad, so I don't know if it's the blindness of the coaching staff that can't see how good this kid is, plus his resume. From college is a wall. Maybe let's take a chance.
Here's a good point. I mean, you drafted him, so you must have thought he was some kind of
exactly.
Good.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
I mean, that's what. And then the thing here too is Doc Stanley Sports Network on the Blake Griffin Network Rainbow Solo Channel Sports Network is your show. JET is Jets we're on now. Here's the thing too with this whole mindset, and you gotta wonder, you know, why did you draft a guy? But there's seeing you certain guys that the people have. I mean, because the Jets could have had Peyton Manning. Not Peyton Manning. The Jets could have had Brett Favre, but somebody upstairs didn't want to pick him. And then you look at this. Here's a guy that you drafted. Okay, here's a guy that should be getting some sort of chance to play. And you see
absolutely.
Him in practice. Let's go back. Go ahead, Rick.
I really think that if this person played, he could be amazing.
I mean, the point you bring up, and what he's talking about here too, Mel Cosell, is a chance to play. Look what happened with Lynn, Mel Cosell.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, do you remember the last game with the Jets and Dolphins when they put Joe McKnight in Wildcat? He played amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, they need to give these players chances.
Yeah.
Are you thinking that it's a situation where they have to be desperate to allow these guys to play, or is it just some sort of mindset
if your team is playing amazing, then I mean, I guess don't put them in. But if they're a mediocre team and doing all right, try it out. I mean, put them in a couple of plays and see what they can do.
First of all, the Jets need a number of number one first and foremost, as far as the defense is concerned, is they need a, as far as I'm concerned, they need a bona fide pass rusher. They need somebody who can make the quarterback uncomfortable back there. I am so tired of watching these guys have time to comb their hair before they decide to pick out a receiver. But they need a bona fide pass rusher. Number two, their linebackers, there's nothing to write home about. Number three, everybody in the league knows that you can throw the ball deep down the middle against the Jets safety. Okay, as far as Tim Tebow is concerned, unlike our guest and both Dusty and I have had this conversation, so we have also done. I think that you can make the Tebow thing work. Now, look, I'm not going to say it's not going to be different, okay?
Yeah.
I'm not going to say that they couldn't use draft choices or the picks that they gave for Tebow to, you know, shore up other areas. All this is known, okay? I am saying that if you have an offensive coordinator who has some imagination, you can do things with Sanchez and Tebow. I don't think it's an impossible.
Yeah,
Tebow,
I mean...
Guess about the other is my only... I really don't. I think that if you have an offensive coordinator that has some imagination, you can do things with
Well, they could do something revolutionary to that. Work with both of these players and switch off.
I'm sorry, what's your name again?
Yeah. Drew.
Let me ask you this, if I may. Do you remember when Buddy Ryan first came out with the fourth thing?
I can't really hear you that much. Hold on, let me...
I don't think this is that much different. Let me talk about the offensive side of the ball. I mean, you could go as far as having your throwing and passing along yardage team and your smash mouth running the ball down their throat, Tebow-ish type of team. I don't see the problem with having basically a two-tier type of offense.
Well,
I mean, if you have an offensive coordinator who has a very, very
Drew, the point he brings is
yeah,
what
I'm
I was thinking, Dusty, is that the mindset is, you know, maybe when we have a team we can run the ball against, you start Tebow. And we have a team you can pass it against, you start Sanchez. But I think what Tebow brings to here, he brings, you know, the guy has a lot of notoriety. I mean, I said last year, we got to say three things about the guy. The guy won his division, the guy got his team in the playoffs, and the guy beat the Steelers. You know, we didn't beat the Steelers. We didn't get to the playoffs. We didn't win our division. And I think, yeah, you know, at least now what we have, Drew, we have, you know, because people kept saying, well, you know, Sanchez is not doing well. Well, you know, but, Dak, we don't want to bring in Burrell. Okay, so now
yeah,
we got somebody.
Yeah, we work together,
that,
is what he's saying.
Yeah, right. So now we got somebody that, you know what, if Sanchez ain't doing it, well, damn, put in Tebow. And you got to say one thing. The guy has brought some interest in the wake of the fact that, you know, the Giants are always going to be the other team in this town, at least lately, and since Joe Namath left. It has brought some excitement, Drew, and it has sold some tickets, right?
Excitement, imagination, and hope. I mean, the big word is hope, that these two guys will come up and
wow,
really
good
shine.
Good line. Hope
yeah.
that it can work. Hope that it can work. Wow.
Hope, you know, we're going in for hope because of the fact, you know, everybody coined this a desperate measure. And they should not have fallen into a desperate measure when you had the McNabs and you had all those quarterbacks unemployed and you have these wide receivers like Randy Moss unemployed and you're going to buttress the team with these veterans. Now they're taking a hope chance with Tebow, who I happen to like Tebow. I followed him from college, and I thought he was a terrific college ball player. But he reminds me a lot of Doug Flutie, who, because of his height, had to go to the Washington Generals in Jersey before he came into the NFL. But Flutie has proven maybe 10 or 15% of his value in the NFL by what he's done. And that Hail Mary to beat the Pittsburgh Steelers was something that was outstanding. But he still has a lot to improve. So now with the tandem of these two competing with each other, there was a rumor, very strong rumor, that they were going to start Tebow and sit down Sanchez. Whoa, my God, what's going to happen here? Do you think people are going to say, that's not fair? They're going to welcome Tebow with open arms in opening day. I can guarantee you that. But the fact of the matter is that
from the very beginning, they weren't bringing people over here to take them to the ball game anyway.
Gang, hold on a minute. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back to that. Tim Tebow living in Hoboken, and he may be living in the middle of the Jets huddle as a starting quarterback. Time will tell. We'll be right back. Doc Stanley, Sports is Up on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul, the channel, Sports is Up in the show. I want to thank our man Drew for dropping in. And Drew, if you hear us, come on back. If not, please join us on Sunday at 9 o'clock. Doc Stanley, Sports is Up on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul, the channel, Sports is Up in the show. We're here. We're still talking boxing. We're going to find another show to bring it in. But it's been Tebow and the Jets. We'll be back after a moment. But we have to, as you know, go and give you a commercial break. And thank you for joining us here on Sports is Up on the Blake Radio Network. Commercial time. Here we are back in a minute, gang.
Check out Rainbow Soul at BlakeRadio.com, where you'll hear talk radio at its best, featuring entertainment, sports, nutrition, Africana studies, holistic healing, and celebrities. Listen to Rainbow Soul at BlakeRadio.com, where you'll hear talk radio at its best. Rainbow Soul at BlakeRadio.com. Talk radio for your mind, body, and soul.
Okay, we're back here. It is the warning. Closing minutes. Just take a little time up here. Fox Sunday Sports Network on the Blake Radio Network. Rainbow Soda Channel Sports Network, the show. Thank our man Drew for joining us. Glad he got over his shyness. He called about five times. He said, what the heck? You know, what the heck? I might as well throw the football. Gloria Gaynor this weekend at Lehman College. I want to thank First Lady of Pure over there, Leah. team that leads the college. And in swing weeks, the legend that lives, called the greatest poet of his time, Smokey. William Smokey Robinson, of legendary miracles, and then a legend all by himself. He'll be also at Lehman College. Smokey wrote some of the greatest songs of our time for everybody. My God, there's not a man today that can. Murray Wells, and then he turned around and did the same thing with the Temptations. My Girl, talking about my girl. And that great hit that became number one in history of Motown. Heard it through grapevine. Last night, they did it first, and then they turned it over to none other than legendary and couple, Mia's Darvin Giazay. Smokey William Robinson at Lehman College. At the end of this month, but this weekend, the first lady of disco, and in the history of this business, the only one to ever win a Grammy, Gloria Gaynor, Jersey's pride and joy. She's going to be this weekend.
I think it's just apropos to the conversation, so I'll be brief. You know, Doc,
hold on,
the only time I ever had the pleasure of going to the legendary Apollo Theater, actually what happened was I was going to see a wrestling event, wound up being sold out, I couldn't get tickets. So I was with a few friends, we're like, well, what are we going to do this Saturday, man? The wrestling show is sold out. What should we do? We decided to go to the Apollo. I had no idea it was on the bill, right? Doc, we get there and we find out that playing that night as we walked in was an solo act, not together, but a solo act. Eddie Kendrick.
Oh, wow.
Was David Ruffin, Eddie
wow.
Kendrick, a solo act, and the Miracles without smoking.
My
Miracles
goodness. David Ruffin, Eddie Kendrick's, and the Miracles without Smokey. Wow.
Eddie Kendrick's, David Ruffin's, and the Miracles. But at end of that concert, David Ruffin and Eddie Kendrick's did they one together, you know, like for old time's sake.
Yeah, yeah, melody. Yeah. Concert, you gotta smile. The Temptations, they were with the Supremes and the Temptations were the last two male and female acts to get a hit at Motown. They sung together. They were the Prime and the Primettes, and they were cool for a while since everybody was getting hits. Martha and the Vandellas, Stevie Marvin, Smokey Robinson Miracles, the no-hit Supremes and Temptations. Well, baby, where did Our Love go? That did it for the Supremes. The Way You Do the Things You Do, which was written by Smokey, did it for the Temps. I remember they told the story of David Ruffin. The Temps were out on the road, and they came in, and they came to Motown, and they discovered that the record was on the charts. They had made it, went to number one, and they said David Ruffin sat down and shed some tears of joy. My Girl, written by Smokey, was their first number one hit across the board, million seller, and their last number one hit, ironically, as you talked about both these guys, Rooney, as you always bring it in, David Ruffin was the lead singer that got their first number one million seller across the board. Eddie Kendrick was the lead singer for their last number one hit across the board, Just My Imagination. Eddie led the first big hit they ever had, The Way You Do the Things You Do, and The Miracles had the first big hit. In fact, they came out with their hit Shop Around, which was sung on the birthday of Smokey Robinson. You know, gang, we got 90 seconds left, so we're going to finish up here real quick. Hopkins, Dawson, I just need a winner, guys, because we got a roll. Who do you like here, Rooney?
Hopkins, I'm tired of picking against him because I always seem to be on the other side. Hopkins finds a way again.
And Mayweather and Ortiz, hold on, gang, don't move. We'll do a couple of minutes after. Doc Stanley, Sports Network on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Solo Channel, Sports Network, the show. From the bottom of my heart, God bless you all. Trust in God. Larry Hardesty, please.
This concludes another edition of Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. We thank you for listening and encouraging you to tell a friend about Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. You can hear that and many other great programs on the Blake Radio Network. Have a great day.
This weekend, Lehman College, the legendary Gloria Gaynor with Carolyn Abrams and the Hitmen. She's there. You be there or you'll be square. Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth on the Blake Radio Network. We'll be right back. Okay, fellas, we're going to do Cremates after Mic On, Lights Off. Let me get a little Mic Off, Lights Off intro, and we'll be right ready to go. Yeah. Stanley Turrentine! But the world needs... All right, wait a minute. Okay, Dusty left, so Rooney, it's just me and you.
Oh, great day, Doc. No problem. Okay. Are we in or are we still in intro?
Give me a couple of minutes. Let's do a little few minutes here, and we're going to... Doc Stanley Sports Depth on the Blake Manubrick, Rainbow Soda Channel, Sports Depth of the show. Mic On, Lights Off. We got Rooney next 10 minutes or so, 10 or less, on the countdown. And we're going to come in and probably let Larry Harris do a little light intro for us. And then we'll come on back and talk just for a minute or two. It's midweek and part two finale of Doc Midweek. As you know, we started this whole thing with the concept that finished off last night's show about boxing and all. But we got a surprise call-in, which we love. We always love that kind of stuff. A surprise call-in from Jersey, a lifetime Jet fan. And we want to thank you all for listening out there. And we'll let you know, too, DocStanleySports.com is my site for Dustin Guard, Sports and Depth Artifacts Hall of Fame. You want to make a donation to Blake Radio, www.blakeradio.com, Rainbow Soul. Larry Hardesty, open up for us, would you?
Welcome to Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley on the Blake Radio Network. On each and every show, Doc takes you inside the world of sports to hear from the movers, shakers, and decision makers. I know you thought there were seven wonders of the universe, where here's the eighth, Doc Stanley.
Always opening in any venue with a small prayer. And any prayer is really not big enough. But some homage. Dear Lord, thank you for Sports in Depth. Mic On, Lights Off, and let you never be off our minds or our souls. For we thank you, praise you, and we acknowledge in Jesus. Amen. Well, we're going to do just a quick couple of minutes here. You say you're tired of picking against Hopkins. Mayweather and Ortiz. I mean, not Mayweather. Mayweather and Cotto. How do you like that one?
You know something, Doc? I have to pick them. I'm not trying to cop out on this. You know, you always get a definite point of view. But, Doc, honestly, I just can't seem to come down on the side.
Wow.
I look at the attributes of Mayweather, which obviously is his incredible speed, his great defense, his ring generalship, and what have you. He's very, very smart in the ring. He does what he has to do to win. You can't take anything about him, whether you like all the bravado or not. The guy finds a way to win. Not easy to be undefeated, no matter what you may think of his class of opponent. So, yeah. But then again, he is fighting a bigger guy, a dogged, stick-to-it kind of, I'm going to be in your face all fight guy, a guy who's going to be throwing punches and coming forward all fight. So, those are the relative attributes of Cotto. The guy's going to be there. He's going to give you rounds. He's going to be dogged in his determination. He's a bigger guy. He's a heavier puncher. And, you know, no matter, this is how I see it. Not a cop-out, but this is it. Whoever can dictate the pace for the most part in this rumble will be the winner. If Cotto can make Floyd fight, and not just when he feels like fighting, but if he can make Floyd fight, exchange punches, hunt him in the middle of the ring, dog him, make him fight, push him around, make it rough, make it a war, I could see him winning this fight. Then again, on the other hand, if he lets Floyd get away with giving him the, by the way, I think he's the best in the business at giving you the shoulder and using it for defense and giving you angles. Floyd is of his usual speed and ring generalship and movement. Then he could make this at least look like a relatively easy fight. Now, part of relatively easy, it won't be easy, but it'll look that way to the crowd in regard to, you know, him being able to outpoint him with his hands. You know, Doc, whenever a guy is super fast and another guy just can't seem to catch him, the fight tends to at least look relatively easy. But it doesn't look like you can touch him because he's just too fast.
Actually, now, you're undecided on this one, but now Pacquiao and Bradley, which way you go with that one?
Bradley's a good fighter, Doc. He's a good fighter. Pacquiao has been in a lot of fights. I don't know how much he's been recovering lately. It seems like he's having a fight every couple of months lately. I still think Pacquiao has enough to beat Bradley. I still think he's in the, you know, the upper echelon of fighters. I don't think he's lost it yet. However, so in the last few questions, I think Pacquiao again gets the boot. But you know, Doc, I have to say in regard to both fights, I don't know which one is going to be. But I have been having for the last month or so a very strange feeling that one of them, either Floyd Mayweather or Manny Pacquiao, one of them's going to get knocked off, Doc. I don't know who's going to be. I don't know if it's going to be Bradley over Pacquiao.
Cotto over Mayweather?
Over Floyd Mayweather. But I'm having a very strange feeling, Doc, that one of them is going to get knocked off, and that super fight is never going to come about.
Well, that super fight, you know, Dusty had to rush out for another assignment. We've said this redundantly here, and the super fight is gone. That fight's not going to happen because Pacquiao's not going to dislodge himself from Arum. Arum doesn't want to dislodge himself from Pacquiao, so he doesn't want Pacquiao to make that. We've said this for the last 2 years, and not that I needed the concurrence of anyone, but Tim Smith concurs, George Willis concurs, and actually the Mayweather camp concurs. That's a fight that Arum doesn't want. Looking at these fights here, I've said this before, I'll say it again. For my money, only three guys were unbeatable, only three guys. The first, Ali, the one they stripped, as Marion Borkin says, the great Marion B. Borkin. The B stands for black, bodacious, brilliant, and a brother. You do Ali in trilogies. The first Ali, nobody's beat. The first Ali, nobody did beat. Ray Robinson is a welterweight. Nobody beat Ray Robinson at welterweight. 77-0 before he got his first title shot. 5 years before the game was shot at the welterweight title because they didn't want African Americans to have the title. And when he first lost, he lost to a middleweight. He was 94-0. And Roberto Duran at lightweight, 72-1 when he fought Ray Charles Lynn the first time in Montreal. Came out that fight 73-1. Those guys are unbeatable. On the other hand, I don't know Dawson. I don't know Hopkins. Hopkins, I think the best fight Hopkins ever fought was the night he fought in Atlantic City in October of 2-3 years ago now when he beat Kelly Pavlik. That was the greatest display of boxing I ever saw him portray in the ring, and I don't see him doing that again. I don't know that much about Dawson. That fight, I feel it can go either way. You know, Hopkins is just a punch or two away from looking older or losing it. He's been a guy in great shape. Never been a great fighter. I've never seen.
Years past when he had promised. Did he say that he had made a promise to his mom that I think he said he'd get stop boxing around 40-ish or so?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's what Larry Holmes once told me. It's hard to stop doing the best thing you do in life if people are going to pay you. Plus, you know, she did pass on, and a wise man changes his mind. I mean, what else is he going to do? I mean, is he going to fall back on his degree as a rocket scientist?
I don't know his financial situation, but based on his ring earnings and purchases, he should be a millionaire many times over, Doc, by now.
Yeah, but you know, what's that great line? What's that great line that Joe Frazier, and a boy, and I love you, Rooney. What's that great line Joe Frazier once? I read that Joe said. Joe said, once you make a million, you can figure out something to do with another million. You know what I mean? It's the thing that Harold alluded to. It's the thing that Larry Holmes alluded to. I'm talking about Holyfield. These guys out there, guys out there can't fight. If somebody's going to offer them that kind of money, bingo, you got to jump at it. I mean, it's like giving money away to a certain degree.
I usually agree with you, but on this topic, topic, I disagree in the sense that my philosophy on hurt businesses like boxing, what have you,
mm-hmm.
I'd rather a guy retire a year too early than a year too late.
Agree with you, Rony. Agree. Hey, listen, I'd rather the referee stop the fight in the third round instead of us dragging him out in the fifth round. No ifs, ands, buts about
always
that.
Always ever on the side of caution when it comes to sports.
Yeah,
like,
but you know, you can't tell these guys that, and it's the thing, Rooney, that they always say, you know, while you're on top, I'm going to leave out on top. Everybody, it's not going to happen. It's like death, you know. Death happens every day, but it doesn't hit you till it happens to somebody in your family or somebody you know. I mean, it's a never dying business, but you know, people die every day, but you really don't, you know, okay, I know I'm going to die soon, but it doesn't hit you until it hits you. And I know in the case of Hopkins.
Hmm? Doc, in the short time that we have left, let me ask you something, Doc. You know, I always feel like I'm graduating from Harvard. We have our conversation.
I appreciate that.
I'm one up here, so you know it's legit. Doc, how many people outside of the great Jim Brown can you think of that actually went out when they're at the top of their game? I really can't think of anybody right off the top of my head that literally went out when they were literally still on the top of their game.
Yeah, you know, when you talk about that, well, you know, Bjorn Borg did to a certain degree. You know, he was 25 years old. He had lost to Michael Wimbledon, but he still, as far as ability wise, was at the top of his game. And he thought he was at a financial plateau that he wouldn't have any problems. But as things turned out, some investments came along, and he wasn't as financially solvent as he thought he was. But as you look back, Jim Brown simply kind of stands alone. You know, we thought Mike was going to do it when he made that great shot against Utah, won the championship, and walked away. But Jim Brown talked about the fact that, you know, when they asked him, you know, Jim, you know, what made you walk away? He said, hey, you know, I played nine years. He said, but, you know, I've gone to the movies. You know, I'm going to be hanging with the Beatles. You know what I mean? Starring with Ray Cowell to make it more money. The great line about him, Rooney, which is, you know, how you always come up with such great, great questions or ideas. You know, Frank Gifford said two things about Jim Brown. He said Jim Brown did things that were humanly possible. The only reason why you know he did them was because you saw him. And there's another line about Jim Brown. They said what Jim Brown did on the movie screen was more believable than what he did on the football field.
Yeah.
But as you look back, you know, I'm going to search around, and maybe Gene Tooney. I have to look around, Rooney, and you're right. You're right. As somebody who just said, hey, man, you know what? Bing, bing, bing. And then not only that, moved into another endeavor, which really took them to a higher financial plateau, a plateau that was just as far as notoriety and fame on the same level. But a lot of his being a football player, the great Jim Brown helped the movie business, but he moved into a venue that was safer, moved into the venue that was remunerating him higher, and still kept him on a level of fame and glory. And you know what? If even we found somebody else who left their venue at that same level, we would never find somebody else, as you brought this up today, Rooney, that moved into a venue that kept him heightened, kept him in the public eye, and kept him to a degree, without question, still a super duper star. I mean, Slaughter, Dark of the Sun, 100 Rifles. Man, you just name it. I got to look at that. You know, you bring up a great point. I'm scanning through. You're right. I can't think of anybody else. No, I mean, you're right. Hmm.
I said, you talking about Jimmy Brown
and
his movie credit?
I'm trying to say not, as you alluded to, not only a guy leaving at the apex of his game, but a guy moving into a venue that was at the same level as far as stardom, notoriety, and it turned around from a financial standpoint of view, was moving into a higher and better plateau of being remunerated, and, you know, he was still a star. You know what I mean?
And
because
that's
the thing.
Starred in one of my great all-time, one of the great movies of all time, mm-hmm. which I never fail to look at any time I get a chance, The Dirty Dozen.
Oh, man. Yeah, and that was when it started. It. I mean, and you look at the cast of characters in that movie. I mean, Lee Marvin, John Cassavetes, Telly Savalas, Jim Brown, Clint Walker. And you know, think about that. You know, Telly Savalas... reading the legendary Hal Jackson autobiography, Telly Savalas used to be the guy who took care of the records, all right, who got the records for Hal at the Stone Hour playing records. Telly Savalas was the guy who got the records, you know what I mean? He was the guy who worked the record room before he became Captain Kojak, the man with the lollipop, the man with the lollipop. Yeah, but that dirty, I remember, and the Dirty Dozen really was the thing that sprung board him into it, because Jim had called
Art Modell and said, "Hey, Art, filming is a little backed up here because of rain and stuff, but I'm in great shape. But I'm going to need maybe another week or two for training camp." And Modell, you know, replied that he wanted Jim Brown in camp on time, and he made the, I remember the quote, "Can't treat him special." And I look back now, it's that mentality of Ali says, "Just another nigga." I mean, you mean, here's a guy who led the league in rushing 8 of the last 9 years. Here's a guy who won the MVP and took you to the championship. Here's a guy, as a fullback, okay, led the league in rushing 8 of 9 years. A fullback. Here's a guy who has the most rushing touchdowns. Here's a guy who scored the most points. And you're saying you can't treat him special? And so Jim said, being the man that he is, Jim said, "Well, okay, no problem. You know what? Hey, I'm a movie star." So because Jim had planned on doing one more year, doing 10 years and saying sayonara, do this movie, the season be over. No, I can't treat it. And I remember Joe Namath called the Jets. He's making, "Hey, Joe, take it easy, Joe." Hey, you know, and it's, you know, it's always that complexion connection type of thing. And Modell, the late, great Clayton Riley told me that Odell alluded to years later that he had made a couple of business mistakes, and that one in telling Jim Brown that he had to be on time was one of them. Was one of them.
They didn't talk about that. Quick second. From my point of view, strictly speaking, I'd much rather be in Raquel Welch's arms than Sam Huss.
Hey, every single time. And, you know, if you look back, there was, I remember the 100 Rifles, the hypocrisy of that. Was that, I remember a friend of mine from Brazil, from Canada, and she talked about it. And she's Canadian. She said, "You know what, the hypocrisy of America, you know, Raquel Welch had to get killed at the end of the movie." You know what I mean? It was just amazing. You know, and that still changes. And there was some talk about, you know, there was some repercussions that she went through for doing that movie with Jim Brown. You know, and it just, you know, the concepts of racism is in every venue of our society, and there were some problems there that carried to Jim Brown. And Rooney, we're going to about close up here real quick. Do you have a quick WWF story for us?
Let me think of something just very quickly. Yeah, Doc, I do.
Okay.
Okay, I'll try to be brief. And it involved you, Doc, so I wanted to take special notice and involve you.
Okay.
And a few years ago, we had both went to, and they were having a Knicks game at the time, but downstairs, in the main arena, there was a Knicks game, I believe, going on, a matinee game at 12 o'clock. And I forgot what happened, but we eventually kind of checked some of those that out, how far the game was going. And at the same time, downstairs in the, I believe at the time, they were calling it or whatever. But
the rotunda.
Yes, in the small arena, they were having a meet and greet of the wrestlers, meet your favorite wrestlers, because I believe the following night they were having WrestleMania at Madison Square Garden. WrestleMania. And it was kind of a get to meet the wrestlers. And so to make a long story a little bit shorter, Doc, I think you had went over to the managers, Captain Lou Albano.
Lou Albano.
Pretty Blassie and all the guys, because I know you wanted to get an autograph for Dimity, I believe.
Yeah, that's right, right. The captain took a picture with me and Dimity.
Right. And as you were doing that, I was walking to the guys and gathering autographs. I was a puppy, of age, but, you know, younger. And I would look at the guy and I'd look up, Doc, and who do I see? But George the Animal Steel.
Really?
Great George Steel, villain per excellence. And I look up, Doc, you know, the guy's about 6'2", 6'3", about 260. Mm-hmm. And, you know, at first I'm like, I don't think I should call this guy Animal. So I just walk up and say, "Oh, you're the great George Steel. Man," you know, I was generally, you know, shocked. I look up and I say to him, Doc, I say to George, I say, "You know, about 20 years ago, I saw you and Bruno in a great match. That was every time you get knocked out of the ring, you lose like $500 or something. And Doc, he looked at the team with genuine glee in his eyes and said, a money match. You remembered the money match. And Doc, the guy was genuinely humble because I said, you know, he was a great George Hill. He's like, well, I don't know how great I am, but thank you very much. You know, I was shocked that he was so humble. Such a nice man, Doc. Signed the autograph, no problem, and was genuinely happy that I remembered his work with Bruno Brock. And it showed me right there, I got to meet the other wrestlers, came back with us, that guy, because of that, those guys can tell you everything. People can talk about it being entertainment, you know, all they want, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
Those guys, and those guys, Doc, can basically remember every belt that they won, every belt that they lost, what day it was, what day it, you know, day they won it, day they lost it.
Yeah.
So,
oh yeah.
So that's
and you know what? You find that, a lot of those guys that the bigger they are, the nicer they are.
Yeah.
The bigger they are, and like he said, he said he didn't know how great he was, but he was great. And so are you, and we're always great to have you here with us on Sports and Depth. We're back Sunday. We may pop up something here with you on during the week. We'll let you know, but let you know that, of course, she. Yeah, that's her, Gloria Gaynor, this weekend with the Hitmen and Colonel Abrams at the legendary Lehman College. Be there. I Will Survive. 20 different languages this song has been interpreted in. 14 million records or so when it first came out. It went gold again when she redid it. The godmother of the World Cup French team, the legendary Miss Gloria Gaynor. Doc Stanley, Sports Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul, the channel, Sports Depth of the show. Rooney, we're going to be back here on Sunday. Larry Hardesty, we're going to go now. From the bottom of my heart, three thoughts. Live your life today as if to stand before God tomorrow. Life's most persistent, the most urgent question is, what are you doing for others? Service to others. Is it meant you pay for your space on Earth? Son of Man came to serve and not be served. Doc Stanley, Sports and Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul, the channel, Sports and Depth of the show. Miss Gaynor, thank you very much. And thank by the grace of God, we have survived. Trust in God. Larry Hardesty, come on in here now.
This concludes another edition of Sports and Depth with Doc Stanley. We thank you for listening and encouraging you to tell a friend about Sports and Depth with Doc Stanley. You can hear that and many other great programs on the Blake Radio Network. Have a great day.